The Syrian government accepts the basic terms of an international peace proposal, but is that going to spell the end of a crisis that's gripped Syria for over a year now? This is another edition of News Analysis.
President Bashar al-Assad visiting the violent hit districts of Homs, a sign that the army is in full control of the city. But violence is raging on in some other areas, with the government forces trying to calm the situation. A spokesman for the UN Arab League Special Envoy, Kofi Annan, has said his plan to end the Syrian unrest has been accepted by Damascus.
And I indicated that I have received a response from the Syrian government and will be making it public today, which is positive.
The proposal was put to President Bashar al-Assad during Annan's visit to Damascus on March 10th and 11th. It was endorsed by the UN Security Council on March 21st. Among others, the six-point peace plan calls for both the Syrian government and the opposition to work with Annan towards an inclusive political process. It demands that all violence come to an end, including halting the use of heavy weapons. The plan also calls for a truce so humanitarian aid could reach the civilians affected by the violence. The opposition has rejected Annan's peace plan, which has been agreed by both the UN Security Council and the Arab League. The opposition says the plan fails to call for a transition of power, that is, Assad's resignation. Annan visiting the UN Security Council veto-holding member China as he continues his efforts to shore up support for his peace plan. Turkey, a neighboring country, along with Assad's main Western enemy, the U.S., are moving in the opposite direction. Ankara and Washington are making efforts to organize the fractious Syrian opposition to turn it into what they consider an effective alternative for Assad. Damascus has repeatedly accused Washington and some of Syria's neighbors, including Turkey, of plotting to bring about a regime change in the Arab country. Damascus says terrorist armed gangs attacking the government forces in Syria receive funds and weapons from the same states. The violence in Syria has left thousands of people dead since more than a year ago.
Joining me now live from London is Dr. Issa Sha'er with the Syrian Social Club, with us live from Damascus, Mr. Talib Ibrahim, political analyst, and live in Beirut, Mr. Jamal Wakim, professor of Lebanese International University. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us. My first question to our guest in Damascus, Mr. Ibrahim, how practical do you see the peace proposal that has been put forward now by Kofi Annan?
Yes, it's very practical, and it has a very great chance to succeed indeed, because Syrian government accepted it. And as we heard that both American president and Russian president are backing Kofi Annan mission, Security Council is backing it. And I think that there's a real chance to this plan to be implemented. And I think that now the ball is with the opposition. Some parties of Syrian opposition, they refuse the Kofi Annan plan, and some of them, they have no comment about it.
Right, but the question about this proposal that's being asked now, if I could put this question to Dr. Sha'er in London. Mr. Sha'er, the question would be, how is ceasefire possible? If we look at it in the sense that President Assad has accepted this proposal, it means that he's going to stop fighting, but have the armed groups said that they're also going to stop fighting, or the armed opposition, or whatever you may want to call them?
Well, they would have to eventually call for a ceasefire. We think that the only solution is a political solution, and whether the armed militants would accept or not, they would be highlighted for what they are trying, the plots they are trying against Syria. This is an important step. I think this announcement that came out today, I have to highlight, has three roles. One, in the words of Kofi Annan, it is the first step, the initial steps for creating an environment that's conducive for dialogue and political dialogue that fulfills the aspiration of the Syrian people. It also closes the door in the face of the people and the regional powers who are trying to destabilize the country and who have tried extensively and effectively in sometimes to try and actually create a nuclei for a civil war in Syria. Now, this announcement shows that the Syrian government is willing to work hand in hand with the United Nations. Mm-hmm. It shows a clear understanding and from the international community that the solution is a political solution based on dialogue with all parties on the ground being involved in it.
Right, Mr. Shahid, I could just stop you there if I may, because I just want to bring in Professor Wakim's opinion on this before we move on with the next phases. Professor Wakim, do you think that this peace proposal is actually practical? We don't know, of course, what's going on behind the scenes between Kofi Annan and officials or people he's seeing in Syria and elsewhere. Do you think that the armed opposition have also been engaged, have also been told to stop fighting, or they are even willing to do that?
First, this, let's say, initiative by Kofi Annan is an American initiative led by Kofi Annan, and that got the acceptance of the Russians, and it seems that it's getting the backing of the Chinese at the same time. That's beyond the mere technicalities of implementing this peace initiative. As for the armed opposition, it seems that this armed opposition was totally defeated by the Syrian army lately. The Syrian regime had got a big support from China and from Russia in order to crack down on this armed insurgency. And the opposition is refusing to accept this peace negotiations or this peace settlement, which proves that in the end, the Syrian regime was the one to emerge triumphant out of this crisis. The Americans, definitely, they saw that it was impossible for them to topple the Syrian regime. That's why they accepted a compromise with the Russians and with the Chinese, especially at a time when the American administration, mainly Obama, is heading towards re-election, and he needs to disengage with certain international crises to focus on his campaign.
Right. Mr. Ibrahim, speaking about what was just raised there by our guest in Beirut, we know that Russia was maybe one of the first countries that came up with a peaceful so-called initiative for the situation in Syria. Russia said at the UN Security Council that we are calling for national dialogue, we're calling for a ceasefire. At that time, the UN Security Council members rejected that proposal. Do you agree with this statement then, that now the United States actually has come to terms with that and said, and has been convinced rather by Russia and China that that's the only solution and they're going for it?
Yes, of course. And I will say, like my colleague said from Beirut, yes, the military insurgency have been defeated in Homs and in Idlib. And the other regional parts who were gambling and playing inside Syria to destabilize Syria, they lost everything now. Another issue, I will say it, yes, now United States is in need to Russia and China. They are in need not only for the elective campaign of President Obama, they are in need to Russia and China in Afghanistan, in different issues for economic reforms, which is very necessary to the United States. So now United States came down from the tree, as we say here, and I think, yes, now the door is widely open for a political resolution. Another thing I will try to highlight it about the armed groups in Syria and about ceasefire. These armed groups are receiving orders and money and weapons from regional forces. Now, and these regional forces are allies of the United States, such as Turkey, some people in Lebanon, and Saudi Arabia, and Qatar. So United States' turn now is to apply pressure on these parties, and I think that, I guess, that the visit of Mrs. Hillary Clinton to Saudi Arabia is to make this deal indeed.
Hmm. And that brings me to the next question, Mr. Shaer. As long as we are seeing this support given to these groups, where Syria has been accusing Turkey, Qatar and Saudi Arabia of giving funds to these groups, of giving weapons to these groups using Turkey's border. So basically, do you think that any kind of ceasefire or peace proposal can go forward as long as this support is continuing?
Well, not really. We need to bear in mind that Qatar and Saudi are using a number of tactics. They're using the media tactics, and they are at the same time supporting these groups on the grounds. But you have to look at it from the point of who's these groups on the grounds. These groups from the ground, some of them are penetrating into Syria externally, and the groups from within Syria are very, very small. I think as time passes by and as reforms are given a chance to materialize on the grounds, we will see a diminishing part for these groups from inside Syria. And the infiltration from externally would actually then be stopped. Mm. I am very optimistic that given the chance for reforms, those groups would actually find Syria as the wrong address for them, and they will go somewhere else. And Syria will not be a safe haven for groups and militias who are targeting the stability of Syria and the region. So I am very, very optimistic that with reforms given a chance, we will see a diminishing role for the armed militants in Syria and for their backers in Qatar and Saudis.
Right.
And Turkey.
Professor Hakim, would you agree with this analysis that according to what was said here, that we're going to basically in the near future see the support ending for these groups and see pressure increase, for instance, on Turkey or Saudi Arabia not to give support?
Definitely. These groups, these armed groups, receive subsidies, receive their financing, their arms, from neighboring countries, mainly from Qatar, from Saudi Arabia, and from Turkey. And if this stops based on this American initiative, so these the resources of these armed groups will dry out and they will find nowhere to go. So I totally agree. The problem with the Qataris and the Saudis is that they were still pressing forward to topple the regime at a time when the West in general was backing down on its original plan, because the Qataris and the Saudis know very well that they went too far with the Syrian regime, and they fear from the Syrian regime having its vengeance on them, especially that Syria has the capabilities to manipulate, if it wants, the Qataris and the Saudis. So I believe that these armed groups will see itself isolated, and they will either be taken over by the regime or they have to leave Syria.
Mr. Ibrahim, right now, a part of the opposition has come out and said, we reject the Annan's proposal, we're not for it, unless it includes a clause for a transition of power and for President Assad to step down. Now, we don't know whether the Kofi Annan's plan includes that. From what we know, it doesn't include that. Basically, do you think that with the opposition, of course, not united on this, that this is going to work?
Of course, that the opposition is not united, and they are from different, they have different political directions. But those who are refusing the initiative of Kofi Annan, they are being backed by Saudi Arabia and Qatar and Turkey, and they are from Salafi and extremist Islamic stream. So they refuse. They don't want to find resolution. Indeed, they were trying to make all possible obstacles for the Arab initiative and Arab envoyers, as we have seen in the past, and now they are trying to make a great instability inside Syria. They have only one project. Their project is the war against Syrian state, Syrian society, and Syrian territories. Those people are indeed mercenary. They are traitors, and they are not from the real tissue of Syrian society, so they will continue and they're refusing. But I think that the majority of opposition, and they will come to the table for talking with the regime, and I think that the international dialogue should be launched very, very soon, and I think that should be in the next weeks.
Dr. Shaer, the question of Assad stepping down, I'd like to put that to you as well. That's been a major point that's been raised time and again by the United States, by Qatar. These countries have been saying that until President Assad doesn't step down, this is not going to work, that the only solution now is for Assad to step down. Do you think they've backed down from that position, or is there still a plan for President Assad to force some kind of pressure on him, even a military conflict inside Syria, to force him to step down?
Well, President Assad is still the legitimate president of Syria. We have seen President Assad walking the streets of Homs and shaking hands with residents of Homs, and all of whom have applauded him. The Syrian people still have confidence in President Assad, and I think, and I look at the situation from somebody who's living abroad, that this confidence give President Assad the strength to carry on and to carry on these reforms and being the best person to carry the reforms. On the other hand, there is something else. If President Assad was to leave, it will create a vacuum in Syria, a vacuum that cannot be filled easily. There will be people fighting for power and trying to capture this seat. In reality, I see President Assad as the person who is now uniting the country from all its backgrounds, all factions, and all political backgrounds. And I think anybody who calls for President Assad to step down at this stage would be causing Syria an irreversible destruction. I think President Assad should stay for the time until the reforms are carried on.
Professor Hakim, would you say that President Assad stepping down is, as Russia was saying, a short-sighted kind of conclusion, that it's not suitable now, it's not a suitable time for President Assad to step down? When we see President Assad going to Homs, as our guest in London, saying, shaking hands with people, do you believe that he does actually have that support base in Syria that would not let him resign at this time?
Definitely, President Assad will stay in power for the time being, especially that he enjoys strong backing from the Syrian people inside Syria. I'm not saying that he enjoys a total support. There are, of course, groups in opposition, but the majority of the Syrian people wants him in power. This is on one hand. On the other hand, the Russians would have never been willing to back up the proposal of Kofi Annan had it not been taken for granted that Assad will stay in power. That's why the some opposition groups, mainly the ones that are related to the Muslim Brothers and that are supported by the United States, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey, of course, they saw that they had no place in this compromise now, and that's why they chose not to back it up. And as for the rest of the opposition groups, they will participate in the dialogue. I believe that the Syrian regime that is, let's say, suffering from structural anomalies, that this regime has been in power for over 50 years now, not only 42 years. And of course, it has lots of problems and structural problems that need to be reformed towards a more open political system. This needs a long period of transition, and I believe that President Bashar al-Assad will be the most suitable one to lead these reforms towards a more open and a more democratic Syria.
So, Mr. Ibrahim, if we say then that Kofi Annan's plan is about President Assad, at least for now, staying in power, and now the United States calling this plan a very important step for Syria and giving some kind of support for it, why do you think we're seeing this kind of U-turn, if I could call it that, from the United States when it's been up until now calling on President Assad to step down?
Of course, the United States as a superpower can't change its opinion dramatically. Of course, they are in need to sometimes, and they are in need to some introduction. So they are trying to prepare the stage to change their position. They are unable to say, in one word, we left all of our ex-positions, and we need now President Assad to stay in power. We are in need to this man for some state. They are not able to say that very simply. But I think that indeed the United States now is convinced that President Assad is trying to make reforms, and he's making reforms. And not only United States. We hear that the French Minister of State, Alain Juppé, said, yes, President Assad could provided some reforms, but it's somehow late. This is a change in the language of all of the West. At the end, everybody now is convinced that the crisis in Syria is very dangerous, and it should be not restricted inside Syrian borders. So we are trying, and everybody now is trying to find political resolution now. Mm. I am personally very, very optimistic about this resolution, and I think, as my colleague said, that the only leader who is able to make this resolution and the Syrian population put their confidence in him, he is President Bashar Assad, very simply. There is no alternative. Syria is very, very complicated, and we are saying that Syria is a region inside country. It is not only a country in a certain region. It is very complicated indeed.
Right. We're running out of time. I'd just like to give the last comments to our guest in London, Dr. Shahar. If you could also briefly tell us, do you think at this point in time, those countries which have been accused of giving support to armed groups and are still continuing, according to Syria, Turkey, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, that they are going to try and impede this peace proposal?
Well, they will try their best, but I think the solution is in the Syrian people's hand and is inside Syria. It's not outside Syria. So, however, Turkey, Qatar and Saudi tries, I think the end solution would be for Syria. I must highlight also the problem that the Gulf states are starting to see. See, Bahrain is rising. There is things happening in United Arab Emirates and in Saudis. And I think the Saudis have to feel the back of their necks, and the Qatari, they have to start worrying. They cannot meddle in Syria's internal affairs. They have to leave the Syrian people to resolve their own differences and to end to create a solution for this crisis. I'm very optimistic that they will see a closed doors when it comes to Syria in the near future.
Thank you very much, Dr. Issa Shaer, Syrian Social Club, joining us there live from London. A big thank you as well to our guest in Damascus, Mr. Taleb Ibrahim, political analyst, and also in Beirut with us, Mr. Jamal Wakim, professor of the Lebanese International University. We've run out of time for this edition of News Analysis. Thank you so much for staying with us. From me, Homa Lezgi, and the rest of the team here in Tehran, it's goodbye.